Bloomberg, the first word with Ken Pruitt.
Our guest is David Tensley, economist at National Australia Bank in London. Good morning. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning.
Well, as we look at markets here in January, are we going to see commodities outperform every other asset class this year, too, like they did last year?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, we're likely to see some outperformance, I would wager. I mean, this year looks like, being with the U.S. recovery gaining some traction, a pretty good year for the global economy, and that will necessarily, and, you know, those GDP figures out of China yesterday show that that economy is still growing at a rapid pace. So that's all very supportive for very strong commodity price levels and indeed some growth probably over the course of this year. The pace of outperformance, though, I would imagine will be a little bit less than perhaps we've seen in 2010, which is really a bounce back from the global weakness we saw previously.
Let me ask you for an update back home. The flooding in Australia, which had sort of moved from the coal mining part of the country down to the agricultural part of the country, bring us up to date.
Yeah, well, there's still some issues. I think the floods, you're right, have peaked and have receded somewhat on the northeast, but there are some issues further down south. I think as far as the economy is concerned, that's obviously a concern for fourth quarter GDP and indeed the knock-on impact on inflation and prices. But I think it would be fair to say that the worst is over on the flooding, and now the country's in the kind of clean-up stages, which down the track will, of course, boost activity further in the first quarter and second quarter, really, of this year.
Yeah, so much of the Australian economy consists of selling commodities to China. Has Australia lost momentum here?
Well, I think it's probably temporary, to be honest. I mean, obviously, one doesn't want to lose, for example, some of the coal exports, etc., that were disrupted by the flooding. But, I mean, when you've got economies around the world growing as they are in the Asian region, particularly so fast, I think those markets are still open for Australian goods. It's just a question of getting back in there, really.
Turn your attention now to continental Europe. We have German business confidence at a record high again. What's behind that?
Well, that's exports, really. I mean, despite all the talk of sovereign debt crises, etc., of course, in emanating from the Eurozone more widely, it's still the case that core Europe is really growing at a rapid rate, and the German economy is still benefiting from the previous decline in the euro back sort of last May time. Germany's doing a very good job at selling into the Asian markets, particularly those big capital-intensive goods that they do so well. So, I mean, I think the outlook there, all the time, the global economy is looking in reasonable shape. I think the outlook in Germany and the core Europe is pretty good, to be honest.
Well, are Germany and the other stronger countries in Europe going to be able to pull the weaker countries up? In other words, is the debt crisis pretty much over or not?
Well, I think one of those points, I think the answer is probably yes. In an aggregate sense, I think the Eurozone economy is going to do pretty well, and that the demand, in a sense, the fiscal tightening in Southern Europe, some of the other economies, really, in the grand scheme of things, is probably going to be outweighed, really, by strength in Germany. But I wouldn't declare the sovereign debt crisis over. There's a sort of temporary hiatus in it at the moment. The market's basically waiting to see what the politicians come up with in terms of restructuring the bailout funds. And we're not probably going to get an answer on that until March. There are a couple of meetings of European Union officials and politicians in March where we might get to see some shape to that. And thereafter, it will be a question of how the market takes that news. And it's still pondering a possible Greek restructuring of its debt in the foreseeable future. So something isn't over, but I think the heat has been taken out of it a bit of late.
David, we had a report the other day that inflation in the UK is running 3.7%, which is almost double the Bank of England's target. Is it going to ease anytime soon?
No, is the short answer. I think it's going to remain, it's going to be slightly, but basically it's going to remain above 3% and well above the Bank of England's target, probably throughout the entirety of 2011. I mean, part of the reason for that is the sales tax, the VAT hike that is pushing inflation up. But there are some worries about the underlying picture as well, with somewhat firming wage growth in the UK, and measures of expectations, what people expect inflation to be in the medium term, are also moving higher. So in short, I think, no, it's going to stay elevated.
Well, does that mean the Bank of England raises interest rates to try to cool things down?
Well, we think that they will do that this year. We're looking at them hiking rates in May, but gradually, though, so that by the end of the year, they'll stand at somewhere around 1.5%. So no aggressive tightening cycle kicking off, but they're definitely, I think, and I think you see this in the Eurozone, by the way, of course, as well. We had Jean-Claude Trichet saying something similar at the last ECB meeting, that really, I think, the direction in terms of monetary policy now is towards tightening in Europe.
Well, when you look at the Bank of England, European Central Bank, the Federal Reserve, who goes first?
Well, that's a good question. I think it's going to be either the Bank of England or it's going to be the ECB. The Fed doesn't look, given particularly that it hasn't even completed its QE2 purchasing program yet of more assets, the Fed certainly doesn't look as though it's going to be moving in, say, the first half of this year. My bet would probably be the Bank of England moving first. We've got by far the more significant inflationary risks than the Eurozone, although the ECB is by nature a little bit more hawkish. But my betting would be on the bank going first, Bank of England.
David Tensley, economist at National Australia Bank, on the line from London.
You can subscribe to Bloomberg's premium podcast service at Bloomberg.com/Tom Keene. And listen to Bloomberg The First Word weekday mornings at 5 Eastern on Bloomberg 1130 in New York, or on satellite radio, Sirius Channel 130 and XM Channel 129. Copyright 2011 Bloomberg LP.